I've always been interested in children's media. That's what I study. I'm also a huge fan of children's media in general. I spend a lot of time watching these things. I started working on this for a gender women's studies course at my master's institution, which is Kansas State University. We were asked to look at bodies in some way. So look at bodies and gender in any way we wanted to. Lots of people talk about the hourglass figure of the Disney princess. I wanted to start there and see where it went from there. So I started looking at the way that people talk about the Disney princess line and animated bodies in general. And I started finding some discrepancies in the way that people were talking about it, specifically in the way that people kept talking about body size without really mentioning body shape. And that's where I started really digging into things, thinking about the way that even among the Disney princess line, which a lot of research has been done on, the young women have very different body shapes, but everyone was talking about them as if they were the same shape. I thought that was a problem.
You looked at 67 films produced by animation studios from 1989 to 2016. 239 female characters in four different body types. Mm-hmm. What did you discover?
The two trends that I focused on in my article were, one, that female body shapes basically change over time. 1989 to 1999 is what people call the Disney Renaissance, and that's where we get Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Tarzan, those movies. And that's where most people have focused their attention, is the characters that were developed during that period when they're thinking about Disney. And they all talk about how these women are very slender, which is very true. And a lot of people talk about the hourglass figure of these princesses. But what I found is that as we get further into the 21st century, that's shifting a good deal. Now, instead of the hourglass figure, the predominant figures are the pear figure, in which a woman has proportional bust and waist, and then a larger posterior. And then the other really frequent shape is the rectangle shape. Basically, my argument about that is, of course, girls aren't getting one clear body image from these films because they're getting increasingly more and more body shapes to take away from the films. And what's missing from the current scholarship is that acknowledgement that there's different shapes. Everyone's like, they're all skinny, they're all the same. What I found is that's not true. And so that might be affecting the way that girls interpret these body shapes. The second trend that I was looking at is girl characters. Most people have been focusing on young adult and adult characters. I suggest that they're missing a large percentage of the characters in the films by not focusing on the girl characters.
When we're talking about these shapes, let's talk about a couple of the characters to give the listener an idea. An hourglass figure, Cinderella, I think everybody knows what Cinderella looks like.
Right.
A pear in the rectangular shape. What are the characters that would come to mind when we're talking about those?
I think the easiest character to think about with a pear shape is Tiana from The Princess and the Frog. We get some form-fitting dresses for her in which her hips are very clearly much larger than her bust or her waist, but she's also most often in clothes that accentuate it also. So it's very clear that they're aiming for the bottom-heavy look for Tiana. Most girl characters are rectangle shape. So I think I give the example Penny from Mr. Peabody and Sherman, just a young girl who's like straight all the way down, shoulders, waist, hips, straight down. But even characters like Mulan, she has a little bit more curvature, but not enough to like put her into one of the other categories.
Now, this is something that young girls see all the time because they're watching all these films. Part of what you're looking at is what the effect of this is on young girls and self-image and their body, which is a subject that is paramount in a lot of media and other discussions about how this influences people's self-image. What are you seeing in that?
I didn't actually study any like actual young women or young girls to look at this. What I did find is that in the social science studies and in the media studies that had been looking at these things, there had been a trend in the scholarship where at the beginning of the 21st century, we see people being like, yes, media definitely affects young girl's body image. And as we get further and further into the 21st century, people are like, no, it actually doesn't. I say that the reason that we have this disparity is because the body shape is changing and what body shapes are emphasized are changing. So these researchers are focusing on body size. And so they see a bunch of very thin young women and girls and they're like, ah, that must be affecting body image. But what I suggest is that what they're missing in that analysis is the fact that these bodies are actually very different. Like, you can't just look at the BMI, for example, and be able to tell, like, ah, this will definitely affect girls. I want researchers to start thinking about how does the body shape affect the way that girls think about these bodies, not just how big the body is.
And by BMI, we're talking about body mass index, which is the weight control and exercise measurement.
Correct.
You also note that there are different descriptions based on whether the age is considered girl or young adult. What exactly does that mean to looking at the body shape?
Most researchers focus on young adult characters. This is the Disney princesses, all those kinds of characters. And they think about, what do those characters look like? How is that affecting young girls? None of the researchers that I looked at girl characters. So this is prepubescent girls, right? Nobody was thinking about how these bodies would be affecting girls just as strongly as the young adult characters that have been focused on. So my argument is that these young girls will be watching other young girls, and those bodies will be affecting them just as much. And when I look at girl body shapes, they're predominantly rectangle, which is unsurprising, right? Like, they haven't been through puberty, they haven't developed breasts, you know, butts, whatever. So it's unsurprising, but also it's not talked about. I think it's really important that girls are getting overwhelmingly representations of girls like themselves who are varying weights, but all have a very similar body shape that corresponds to the body shapes that young girls would have. And I think that's the piece of research that's really missing currently.
As is often the case, this is a incremental step in looking at this issue. It has been looked at before, as you made reference to, and going forward, now that you've done your first entry into this, where do you see your next step?
The next step probably needs to be taken care of by social scientists. I just want social scientists to start thinking about how they're thinking about bodies. Currently, they're very limited in the way they think about bodies. So my intervention here is simply, please look at bodies in more like complex ways. So I hope to see in the future people looking at the bodies, looking at the body shapes, and also thinking about things like race, ability and disability, queerness, and how that's coded on the body. Like, there's so many different things that until relatively recently weren't really making it into animation, but it is becoming more and more apparent in animation as we have things like the How to Train Your Dragon franchise, which is based around two disabled characters, and we have more and more characters of color appearing in animation. So there are other factors that we need to be looking at besides just the body size.